I clocked that. It's 164 beat to minute right there, which is, if you're doing it in 16th note style, which just about everybody was, and sometimes more, that comes out to 11, 12 notes a second. Oh. Just thought you'd like to know that. Yeah, I had a little.
And if you're getting paid by the note, it's a pretty good deal.
Well, that's about, Monroe liked it that fast, and it was sort of one of, I don't know, he's a macho sort of guy, and one of the things that he always liked to do with his bands was challenge them and make them really work hard to be as good as he is, and then he tried to be as good as they were, and according to Earl Scruggs, he called it, they would fight each other that way. It was a form of just matching up to each other and just sort of being competitive, and, you know, in Boulder, it's probably considered maybe not so great to be all macho and competitive, and but it's part of bluegrass history anyway. Even if these guys don't seem, they seem mainly cooperative, but still,
oh, we're mixed.
But I bet they're trying to push each other along and that kind of thing. And in fact, one thing I just want to ask about is I don't know if you remember certain rhythmic things. There was a lot of interesting kind of rhythmic stuff going on there. And one thing that Mike does, which I like on the mandolin, is he does this kind of, not just the standard chop, but he does extra note chops. Could you give, with the fiddle going, maybe could you just show the kind of rhythm you play, just so, well, even on that song, say, you know, like with Daryl playing the melody.
I can't remember exactly what I did, but I'll try.
Yeah, it's not of that nature, but... And, oh, go ahead. Want to say anything?
I would say that, you know, there's the obvious two-beat rhythm going on. Boom, bop, boom, bop, boom, bop, one, two, one, two. And all I'm really doing is referencing other time things across that. You know, that's still going on. But if you take simple math and you play groups of three, it's going to come out at the end of some... Anybody got a calculator? Or if you play groups of four, you play groups of five, or what have you, it all works out in the end. It adds up, and you kind of see the form of each 16-bar section as a long thing rather than as a short two-beat, two-beat, two-beat. Does that make sense, Todd?
No.
Todd is doing that, too.
So I think
we should have him tell you what the fact, hell he's doing.
David, what you were doing behind David's solo, Todd, was kind of interesting because sometimes you were just real calm, you know, quiet before the storm, then you got real active and whatnot. Yeah. And even if you don't remember what you actually did just then, maybe if you could get David playing the lead and you could just show different
rhythmic
things.
Sure, I can play some other kind of bass other than boom, boom.
Yeah, there you go.
Play me a lead there, David Greer.
I'm somewhat in awe of just listening to the way you guys play, and you know, some of the lead people will just really start syncopating around the melody and really put the melody, replace it in a different part of the song, and everybody's keeps the place. I didn't hear anybody just lose the spot in the song where you're all supposed to be. What's
after
going on when that happens?
After a certain amount of playing, you develop a sense for the length of a chorus. You know, you can just think, you know, it's like.
Think of it as a really long, yeah, it's one long note.
Bop. You know,
yeah.
It just, you know, and that's the thing, you know. That's the sections, you know, and you can like go for a longer section. And so you always try to wind up, you know, you you tie off the ends, right? You got your one, you pin the ends, and then what happens in the middle? You think, like, do whatever you want.
That's all you need to know about bluegrass. You've learned everything. You could just go home now. That's it right there. Just all the stuff in the middle. That's. Yeah. We hope you enjoyed your stay here. Thank you, and so long.
And I'll go home. Now, yeah, it's really, you know, most of it, it's just about listening to each other. You know, there's no way you can do this kind of thing unless you're listening more than you're playing, and the amount we're playing. It's kind of a lot, but we're listening even more.
I wasn't paying attention. What was that?
Oh, the listening part? Oh, well.
I would say you do have to divide your brain in half. You have to use half your brain for what you're doing and the other half for listening to the other players and reacting to it. And that's kind of hard to do. You got to be slightly schizophrenic. Hyperactivity helps too.
I want to ask, because we haven't really asked this yet, this week on the stage in general, but what you're doing in this situation, say, again, behind Roanoke, maybe just Daryl and Mike play it again, with you playing the melody, Daryl and Mike playing his style of rhythm, and then just what you did, I noticed you doing a variety of things. Again, I don't expect you to remember them, but why don't you just show different kinds of rhythmic approaches to playing behind that. Subtitled, that's not what I meant. But that was great. I'm glad you taped it, because that'll probably be on the next live album. And by the way, they have their brand new live album with them, and of course they'd like you each to get one. But back to...
Did that answer your question?
No.
Really?
It was
great. I
thought
it was brilliant.
It was brilliant, but it wasn't what I asked.
Shit.
I just want to give... And Tony played some wonderful stuff. No, that's okay. It was great. And now we'll do the other thing.
It was another look. It was just another, looking at it from another angle.
I know.
Perspective.
I know. I'm with you. I hear you. I feel your pain. No, I was just hoping to hear Daryl play it again at the speed you guys were playing it at. And then just, okay. And then give
we're
us
a chance. We're old now. We're tired. We can't do that speed all the time. Oh, you can't do it.
Perfect, just exactly what I meant. You guys, I'm trying to do school and you're doing recess. You know, that's good though. School and recess go really well together, and we just heard it right there. Why don't you guys play another one, and then
Todd
we'll
says we get
questions.
Detention. No, that was attention. Good. That was a good exercise in listening.
Yeah,
I saw
it really was.
To follow Daryl's insane 16th notes and still hang in there, that's hard to do.
You did it.
Yeah, you did.
Warp. Can you follow warp?
Can you follow?
So I don't know. I'm sorry to take you into no man's land.
Yeah.
Do we have any requests?
Old Ebenezer Scrooge.
Woo! I don't remember. There's a part on that I don't remember. Well, actually,
any questions? Any questions for anybody in the band or something about the band? Sorry?
Questions.
More songs?
Yes.
Do you guys ever sing?
No.
Why, sure.
You'll be sorry you
We asked. Do something we don't really sing, but we do something you might refer to as recitation. Daryl's our lead singer. The rest of us mostly just sing backup.
Grunters.
You'll hear it this weekend, friends, and it will be memorable.
I don't know if it's really appropriate for like an instructional.
It's not something you do in the daytime.
It's not something you want to. I mean, you don't want to promulgate this kind of behavior, you know, in normal. But we should, you know, we could do another tune, I guess. Is Pete around? What's going on? I mean, I know you're around.
Got preoccupied. We are going to bring on special guest Pete Rowan.
Yeah.
There he is.
Yay, Uncle Pete!
There he is. Get on up here, Pete.
See, now this is the vocal part, you know, because and Peter is one of the great creative forces in bluegrass, I think. You know, he's one of the probably the.
Pete would like to borrow a caper and a strap. It'll double the value of your capo and triple the value of your strap to have lent it to Pete.
So Peter Rowan is the uncle of bluegrass.
Form a line. Here comes a capo.
Is that because... I guess I'm an uncle. Capo, that's a good start. Anybody got a strap?
You got to bring his pencil.
It really is. Whatever you were like in fourth grade is what you're like when you play bluegrass music.
You always forgot to bring your strap to school.
Yeah.
Here we go.
Lunchbox, everything lost. Here we go. Thank you.
Okay. Well, Pete, what would you like to add to this assemblage here this morning? Would you like to start singing or talk about
Bill? I'd just like to add something about David Greer. David is... David has a past that he really likes to hide, and because he's shy about it. And when I was with Bill Monroe, it was in the 60s during the psychedelic era, and we had a banjo player in the band who's Dave's father, Lamar Greer, and Bill Monroe would introduce him as from the great state of the senators, Washington, D.C., Lamar Greer.
What's that mean? Yeah.
It was a senator thing. And... And David, you were probably like, how old were you about then? Five?
65, I was four.
4 years old. David was 4 years old. But I always remember David, whenever we'd be rehearsing over at his house, his eyes would get so big. And then there was a band called the Kentucky Colonels that was out playing at that time. And David had the great opportunity to listen to Clarence White in his house many times. I think David was probably seven the next time I saw him, and he was already playing guitar, picking up this Clarence White kind of style of playing, which is a whole thing in itself. And I'm sometimes if you don't know where some of the stuff is coming from that David is playing. Syncopation that's been handed down from Clarence and David and Tony Rice, and real dynamic bluegrass guitar playing. I'd love to hear it. It sounds great, David.
Wow, thank you.
So I think in the spirit of psychograss, we should do a tune that we've never done ever together. We've in fact never played together as a group before, so.
It's a historic first.
What is your name now?
What state are you from?
It's a world premiere.
So, I mean, I was thinking,